They'll let me in the choir. They'll let anybody in the choir. All right, y'all got to liven up, but we're going to be here a long time. I'm going to tell you that right now. All right, let us stand for the reading of God's holy words. Mark 12, beginning with verse 28. You know, one of the problems with preaching out of two different Bibles, one that goes to the other church and one that comes here, Scripture's not on the right side of the page anymore. It went to the other side. And so it may not seem big to you, but it's big to me. All right, here we go. I found it. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he, being Jesus, answered them well, he asked Jesus, "What commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, as well with all your strength.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray together. May the gift that is everlasting life, may the gift that is eternal blessing, may the gift that is given to us with all that we are, be seen through us. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen. So, all right, it's quiz time. Everybody take your paper and pen out. No, not that, but take your paper and pen of your mind out, and let's take a quiz. First Sunday, I've been here 3 weeks now, okay? Amen, a long time. Y'all ought to be settled in now. The first Sunday we did John 3:16. We talked about it, and y'all remember the text, right? Y'all know it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And we read that, and we talked about God doing the acting. God is the one initiating. God loved the world. God gives his Son. So we talked about how God interacts with us, and then we got to a point where we said that whosoever believes, meaning anyone can come to know God because the message of God's grace is given to everyone. And then at the end of that time, we talked about the fact that it's not our place to do the saving. God does the saving. It's our place to lead people to God. That was our conversation the first Sunday. The last Sunday, I brought this so I got it in order. We talked about Micah 6:8, love justice, show kindness, and be humble before the Lord. So justice, kindness, and humbleness was the topic of last week. And we talked about how we as Christians learn that we know God through faith of the action of God, and that we then accept him. But then after we've accepted, we should live our lives with justice, humbleness, and kindness. And that they should know us, the world should know us, through our love, but our love of the justice, humbleness, and kindness that's given. So we should act that way, and we should be that way, and that's how the world should know that we're Christ-like, because they see those actions through us. And then we come to today, and so we've learned how God acts and how we accept. We've learned how we should act towards the world, and now we're going to learn how we should act towards God. Next step in these four basic understandings of what Christianity should be like, for us to get a baseline of how we should act as a church and as individuals, the next step is to hear what is said in this Mark verse. And you know the last half of this first part of it very well. The love of the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. Y'all know that pretty well, right? What I don't think we pay attention to is the first part of this. Now, we'll pay attention to the second part in a minute, but I don't think we pay attention to the first part. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one." Now, let me ask you a question. How many fabulous sermons have you heard on that part of it? You always hear him talk about the second half, which is a great set of texts. Don't misunderstand me. And I'm going to do that. But you got to hear the first part so you can get the full story here. So in the conversation of "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one," I want to remind you of what Scriptures does. You read the Old Testament text, especially in Genesis, and what happens in the first two chapters of Genesis? Now, you can talk about whether it's 7 days, 7 years, 7,000 years. You can get all those conversations anytime you want to. That's not for this morning. But in creation, there is night and there is morning a day. And God speaks into being all the things that are at that point. So God the Father, with an understanding, as John 1:1 and following says, that upon that time that the Word was God and the Word was with God, and we hear that part of Jesus being there and the Spirit being upon the waters. We see all that with the three parts of the Trinity. But in that Old Testament section, you see God the Father is the main actor, and we talk about how we see the creation, we watch how He deals with the church as it forms as the nation of Israel, and we see how He tries to send apostles, not apostles, but prophets to them to tell them about how they should act. We unfold that with God acting, and then we get into the New Testament, and Jesus says over and over and over again, "I and the Father are one." So there's a oneness in this. And then He says, as He's ascending, and some before that, but at ascension, He says, there's a comforter coming that's going to guide you, and it is My Spirit coming to be with you, and that I must go away before that Spirit to come to you. And He gives a picture of those three being one. So we believe, we teach, that God is one God seen three different ways, and that one God does the acting and in the world, comes to the world and teaches us, and you have in your acceptance of the Holy Spirit, of believing in Jesus your Lord and Savior, you have in you that Spirit that guides you. Now you all should be that way. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. You should hear that in your own spirit, in your own soul, and it should unfold in you that way. So now let me take you a little step farther. How many of you today, not yesterday, not tomorrow, how many of you this morning have had a personal conversation with the Holy Spirit? And some people will raise their hands. All right, let me tell you how much you missed without that Spirit, that conversation. And I'll put it into a human form. To get ready for church this morning, how long did it take? 30 minutes. Some would say 45. Some would say an hour. Some would ask the question, was that before or after I had my cup of coffee to get going? At our house, we don't drink coffee, so that's a mute issue. But still, we would ask those questions. You know, how long does it take to get ready? Well, I would suggest to you it should take you longer with the Spirit to get ready than it does physically to get ready. People will say, well, nothing ever spiritually happens at church. That's because we don't get ready for spiritual things to happen at church. We don't plan for spiritual things to happen at church. We don't allow ourselves to be moved for spiritual things to happen at church. You should come into the church filled with the Spirit when you walk in the door. If I have to give you the Spirit, we're in a sad place as a congregation, as individuals. You bring that Spirit with you. Now, yes, the Spirit's here when you arrive. That's an omnipotent thing. We'll have that conversation another time. But you have to be bringing and filled and have expectation for that Spirit to fill you and to move you in worship on this day and on any day that you come into church. You come with that expectation. You know, I just wonder, and for those of y'all who greeted this morning, I'm just curious, how many people walked in the door and they walked up to you and say, "I am so excited today. I can't wait to see what God's going to happen in church." That's your normal. But how many others?
No, not for me.
You know, can't wait. I can't wait to see what the Spirit's going to do today. Isn't it going to be great? Y'all did that. Amen. In your heart. There you go. I'll take it there. I'm good there, as long as it's there. But watch the process. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. if the Lord is one and the Lord has saved all of us, guess what we are? We're one in the Spirit. We're one together with God. We are one filled with that Spirit. And we come in, and I know none of y'all do this. I mean, I know y'all are really close to perfect. But I want you to hear, how many of us have ever come in and found the thing that went wrong and focused on it only? Well, I couldn't hear that, dadgum preacher. There's another story behind that. We'll leave that for later in our lives. Or I didn't hear that. Or the choir was kind of off key. Well, that's probably because of the dadgum preacher again. Think of the process of this. Look at this. Marilyn will tell you the story of the dadgum one day. It's not a bad story. It's just what it is. And so think about the process. You don't come looking for the bad. I mean, none of y'all, anybody, let's just do it. Any of y'all football fans? Y'all watch football? You okay? Have you ever noticed that when a team wins by a certain amount, they find what they did wrong because they could have won by more? And instead of just going, thank God we won. Think of the process of this. We have to come with an attitude of oneness. So the first part of this is Jesus is trying to say to those who are asking him. Because I want to remind you where we're at. He has somebody, a learned person, coming to talk to him, probably a Sadducee or Pharisee, maybe a lawyer, one of those groups. I don't know who it is in that group. But one of the leaders there come to him and say, ask him a question. And remember, at that time, it's not the folks who don't go to church that are going to crucify Jesus. It's the folks who are part of the organized church that helps crucify Jesus. I hear that. Don't miss it. And so instead of enjoying who he was, now remember, you can enjoy what somebody does and you won't believe a word they say. And then sometimes you enjoy and actually do believe what they say. But instead of enjoying who he was because he was against some things that they were for, they had to do something to get rid of him. He looks at the person who's asking the question, and instead of beginning with the next part, he starts out by saying, my friend and brother, here, O Israel, is one. You and I, who come from different perspectives, different angles on things, different ways of viewing things, you and I are one because we both believe in God. There is a common denominator of faith between them. And he starts out there. But then he goes on to the part that you're more used to being preached on here. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, the way I have it memorized, strength, and the way it was read in the scripture this morning. All right, so you love God with what part of your being? All of it, right? Amen? All right, now, let's work on that a minute. Without testimony, unless you want to give testimony, we'll take a testimony, but unless you want to give one, without testimony, how many of y'all know there's part of your being that you truly don't want to turn over to God? There's something, I'll do it another way, I'm going to come at it with two or three different directions, I'll come at it the harsher way next. How many of y'all have a sin that you enjoy doing so much that you don't want to stop doing it? That's the harsher way. So, have you ever noticed that fat preachers don't preach on gluttony? I mean, think about it. How many overweight preachers preach on gluttony? Now, they'll preach on something else. It's easy for me to preach on alcoholism. Let's just pick something else. I can preach on that because guess what we don't do at our house? We don't drink. But I have a hard time preaching on the sins of eating M&Ms. Why? Because peppermint patties and M&Ms are our two favorite things at our house. So it's easy for me to preach on the thing I'm not going to do. But a pack of M&Ms is not a bad thing. 5 pounds is. Think of the process. You have a hidden sin you don't want to give up. Now, somebody will say, well, that's not a sin. If you eat so much it makes you sick and you die, it is. Think of the process of this. How many of you have hidden things you don't want to leave? Well, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, you might have to give up something you don't want to get rid of. You might change jobs. None of y'all have ever worked in a job that frustrates you so much that you come home saying bad words about the people around you because you can't stand to be around them anymore, but you can't say it at work because it gets you fired. Nobody's ever been there, have you? You might have changed jobs. You may have changed directions in life. You may have to give up on some things and change some things so that your entire being gets given over to God. Because when it says heart, soul, mind, and body, it's trying to say you give everything to God. So I'm going to do it a different way now. Here's the third direction, just to let you hear a third way. I get more requests from people in a church to preach on money than I do anything else. Preach, you need to preach on money. Until I preach on money. And then nobody asks me again. Need to preach on money. And here's why people don't like my preaching on money. We'll be clear about this real quick. Because this is not a sermon on money. I'm just trying to get at a point from three different directions. Scriptures teach us to give 10%, right? If you get a little farther than that, it's 10% plus a gift. That's what we go with, that teaching of giving, which comes, by the way, from the grain offering and the wine offering of the Old Testament, and then the offerings where they gave the firstborn to be slaughtered. It comes from that place in the Old Testament to come and give that 10%, that firstborn, that best of what you have to God, and you take it and you have it put on the altar, whether it be one of those offerings, whichever one it is, you take it and give it. And that's the teaching of the church as we see it, most of the time. It's not what Jesus taught, but it is the teaching of the church. Jesus never taught that. Never uttered it. Never came out of his mouth. Jesus taught tithing, giving in a totally different way. Now, this is always hard on people, so just hang in there, but it goes with this discussion. Jesus said, when you've given everything that you have to God, you've given only what's been required of you. Now, wait a minute. That doesn't sound a whole lot like 10% to me. He's trying to work at it in a totally different way to help us understand that we are to give our entire being to God. We give of ourselves to God in its fullness, our fullness, whatever that means. Now, does that mean you don't have to go have a good time? Doesn't mean that. Does that mean you bring all 100% of your paycheck into the church? Well, we'll take it, but it's not what it means. It's not what he's trying to say. Does it mean you spend every waking hour at this church? Well, we'd love to have you down here, but that's not what it means. What's God trying to say? It's the same thing that Jesus is trying to say here when they ask the question. When you're at work, you give to the people around you as if Jesus was giving, so they'll know Christ lives through you. When you're buying things, you buy things to the glory of God. It may be for your house to be improved. It may be for you to do certain things with your family so that you can enjoy the family God gave you, because God gave you a family to enjoy, not to ignore. See, what's the process of this? And the fact is, frankly, if everybody gave 10% of what they make, church wouldn't usually have any issues with money anyway. But it's about, he's trying to get to a deeper level, because we think on the surface level of money, and he's thinking on the deeper level of spirituality. He's trying to take us from that surface thinking to that deeper level of spirituality. So when he says to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, or all your strength, he's trying to get us to fathom in ourselves fully and completely turning ourselves over to God so that God is actually, now wait for it, just wait for it a minute. God is actually in charge of our lives. That we're actually following what God says. Think about that process. Because if you actually follow what God says, let me tell you what goes away. Now, I'm not good at this. I'll be clear. On some levels, I struggle with this, and here's why. I like to be in charge. Amen? You can say it louder. It's okay. I want to be in charge. I want to control things. In fact, there's been times in my life that I've suggested to God, if he would just turn it over to me, we could get this thing straightened out. Now, that's wrong. But some of us want to be in charge. Any of y'all out there like to be in charge? Yeah, y'all look at each other now. That's a great thing to look at the other person. It works out well. But we want to be in charge. And sometimes people got to be in charge. For my principal in the room, God bless you, somebody at school's got to be in charge. Because if nobody, the principal's not in charge, let me tell you who is in charge. Nobody. But there's a humbleness to being in charge. Remember Micah? How you should live? Love humbleness. So baseline here is that we have an acceptance. This is how we live towards the world. And when we live towards God, we live towards God with giving God everything we have and everything we are, and let God do the blessing of us that God wants to do. Because see, I want to share this with you as we get close to the end here. God actually wants to bless you. God actually wants to give to you. Send his son die on a cross so you'd have everlasting life. If that's not a sign of blessing, what is? God wants to bless you and give you strength and hope for the future and for eternity. God wants to bless you in your life. God wants you to have happiness. Let me tell you a secret. Some people don't want to be happy. They want to be grumpy. Amen? How do I know that? How many grumpy people do you know? Surely to goodness, they wouldn't stay that grumpy if they didn't like it. Why would you act like that if it made you bad or feel bad? Some people don't want to have the joy of God because if I've got joy, then guess what I've got to do? I have to share it. I used to sing a song in Bible school. I don't know if y'all remember it. I bet y'all remember it back here. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Remember that song? Down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got the joy, joy, joy. It's not as good as David Lloyd. Down in my heart, down in my heart today. Remember that? All right. There's a second verse that nobody knows. Here's the second verse. If I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, why don't I share it? Why don't I share it? If I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart, why don't I share it today? And then there's a third verse just for fun. If the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Sit on attack. Sit on attack. If the devil doesn't like it, he can sit on attack. Well, here's my invitation. You know, Satan knows Jesus. Do y'all know that? Read the book. It's in the Bible. They've had conversation. If you don't believe it, just ask Job. He'll tell you all about it. It's not knowing of, it's believing in. If you have that faith, it should and will change your life. Act towards God if you truly believe God has already acted towards you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The altar is open for you to come and pray. Feel free to do that as God leads you to come and pray at this very moment.
Please stand as we sing, Take My Life and Let It Be. Thank you.
So Marilyn and I would like to thank each of y'all for our luncheon last week. Anytime y'all want to do that, let us know. We're happy to go eat. It was really good, and we enjoyed every bite of it, maybe more than we should have. So thank you for letting us do that and be there with you last week. I want to thank Wayne. I don't know if anybody's thanked him for playing. Hey, Wayne. Thank both of y'all for playing this morning. Amen. And so. And just think, friends, if you think I had energy this morning, I've already preached twice. Just think if you'd have just got me fresh, how it would have been. I just got wound up and never got out of here. But it is good to come and be with you today. Now, this is going to be an interesting week. How do I know that? Because they all are interesting. It'll be something that God will challenge you with this week that you don't know about. There'll be something come in your life that you're not prepared for, that you have to turn over to God. And God will lead somebody into your life that you will need to minister to that will challenge you. Now, I pray that happens to all of y'all this week, so that your week can be turned over to God and you can be changed and you can worship God with all that you are. Now, allow us to go in your name. Bless this time. Thank you for the dear folk gathered here. Thank you for their patience with me, for the patience that they show in the church, and for the love they give to all of us. May our graciousness be overwhelmed by your love, and may we find our peace in you. Let us go forth in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and let us show God's love to everyone. Amen.
Go now in peace, leave the love of God surround you everywhere.